Winter, spring, summer, fall, seasons change. We still keep it together.
Hey, Beverly Hills 90210 fans. Are you ready to dive deep? Episode by episode. Storyline by storyline. Character by character. As we break down the making of your favorite zip code. With your host. Charles
Rosen.
Did
I say that?
Yeah. Mary Mullen.
This heinous thing about the real person. And we go, what? We're getting rid of this guy.
Pete Ferrero.
I'm feeling wonderful. Kathleen looks crush, TV crush worthy.
Like so many special guests. And all your questions. Live on the Beverly Hills 90210 show. Oh, yeah.
There he is.
He hits it.
He made it. He made it in by the buzzer.
I was having the phone in my hand saying, Pete, I'm going to be like 10 seconds late, but I made it.
You made it.
I had to do some stuff for Karen. And yeah, I just got to say before we start, just got to say, I'm just so devastated by Lahaina and Maui.
I can't even believe it.
You know, I love the islands. I worked in the islands for a number of years, more the big island in Oahu than Maui, but I always loved Maui. And when Karen and I were so ridiculously effed up trying to move out of that place down in the marina, and then we got a week gift to go to West Maui, all these wonderful places we went to are all burned to the ground.
That's outrageous.
Of course, the whole coastline that we worked in on the Big Island and where you love the Mauna Kea, that whole coastline all the way up to Kauai Harbor is also endangered. Also, it's terrible.
What do you mean, Robbie?
Yes, the Kona Coast. Yes, exactly.
Oh no.
Yeah, and then Robbie Robertson died. It's just.
I saw that. That's so sad.
Chuck didn't know that.
Yeah, oh jeez.
It's a banner day.
Welcome to the Beverly Hills 90210 show.
Larry, he pulled into Nazareth.
He did. About half-ass dead, but not just half-ass, full-ass dead.
Lots of people saying hi. Amaya Baker says, hello, guys. How have you all been? So it's a great time to ask, outside of what occurred today. Chuck, how have you been?
Good. Been busy. Been not carrying picket signs, but carrying signs on behalf of Venice and making some progress here and there. So. Keep me busy, ready for a big, nice family vacation in Melanie Country down in San Diego next week. And looking forward to that. We got some restaurant recommendations from her that I've run by my kids because they're the ones that are going to determine where we eat, of course.
Right. Well, best to Melanie. How is Melanie? Is she doing well these days?
She seemed very well. You know, a little disgusted with the Padres, but no more than you are with the Mets or you are with the Red Sox. So only one is feeling that baseball love. But even our team, you know, there's a lot of good baseball teams and a lot of baseball left to play. That's for sure.
Sure, Larry, how have you been?
Well, I had another bout of COVID, which was no fun, but I'm just glad I didn't give it to Chuck. I'm well now, just getting my feet back on the West Coast. You know, I kind of, took a whole week off just indulging myself, trying to get better. And, that's about it. So now we're back and, you know, life is good. Other than, you know, today's, you know, the Hawaiian news, I told you Chuck would just be devastated by
it. You did say that.
He really loves. Yeah. So there you go. But I'm excited about this topic here, the passions of Andrea.
Yes. And Fernando says, hi, I've missed everybody. Miss you too. And Brian, our friend, says, I made it to this one.
Hello. Hi, Brian. Yeah.
Christel says, I'm usually in Maui every week for work, but I'm on vacation until the 16th, safe at home. Thank God. Okay.
I heard that planes are landing with tourists on Maui. Are they nuts? There's no place to stay.
I think they stopped. Yeah, they were. I know. It's just. God.
Tammy says it's a good time to be an Orioles fan.
Exactly. That's... We always think about you. We're happy for you, believe me.
It's not going to last long though, because once all these players are ready to have big contracts, the Orioles will not.
Enjoy. You gotta savor the moment.
Sorry, but they gotta go for it now, is what I mean.
Enjoyable. Of course, yeah.
Thaddy says, hi everyone. Good to see Thaddy as well and all of our
people. Thaddy, yeah. Brazil.
let's talk about Andrea Zuckerman. There is a 90210 news story. We didn't get to talk to you, Chuck, about whether we should bring it up or not.
I guess we will.
The thing that's been going on with somebody living in an RV park.
Maybe it's fake news.
The only part, yeah, everybody read that in the Post. It went around. I wasn't happy to read any of it, but at the same time, hard to believe that the excess amount of shopping every month and you're in that situation, that doesn't ring true to me.
Something's off with that story.
You're this, and even if you're upset about A, B, C, or D, that just seemed that's what got to me. It's like, you know, please don't make that true, because if that's true, stop shopping.
You know what? Yes. I think we can just use a wrestling term here. This is work.
It does feel like a work.
Which basically, work means the alternate universe, really fake. It's for a reason. Perhaps to, you know, to, I mean, or maybe it's an embellishment. I throw the flag for embellishment here.
You mean like in wrestling when like they use they call it like a worked shoot, right? Where it's like, like a work shoot's like, well, it's kind of based in reality, but it's really not true. They're working the storyline. Like
in wrestling when the owner gets arrested, warrants on his arrest.
Exactly. That could be a work too, Chuck. Because again, all this
stuff, the federal government
for your brand. Of course, yeah, there is a federal government thing, but
it's so interesting. Anyway, I hope she's okay. We love Tori here, and we're wishing the best for her.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely,
exactly.
Yeah, I mean that's the thing.
Had
I mean,
fun she's the both times I've been on her show, I've had a real good time with her and Jenna.
She's always so sweet to me.
She's a great trooper in my mind. She's always
absolutely.
She asked me to go to the prom once on this podcast. So, I mean, we have to do that. So, I just love her and hope we're all okay. I'm sure there's some sort of version of the
Well, but we should say one thing, though. But doesn't it beg the question why Mama doesn't make things a little better?
Candy, you mean? Yeah.
Yes, mm-hmm. I mean,
yeah. I don't even know if that part's true. Like, I don't know
does
what
she
part
have a relationship with her grandchildren or not. I mean, yeah, Grandpa Charlie, he's living for his kiddies.
Okay, Amaya Baker has some information which I had heard. She said she had mold in said house. She is waiting for the mold to get cleaned out. I think TMZ and them need to stop reporting it. Okay, that's Amaya's. That was Amaya's editorializing.
All right, well, I'll buy that.
Well, you know, those guys are vultures. If people didn't get into trouble or this, then all they could be doing is doing stakeouts at the airport. You know,
I'll tell you what. There's a great
nobody does better than that than just assaulting people with cameras and at baggage claim. I mean, no, TMZ's got that down.
I just watched today on Vice. They have Dark Side of the 2000s, Chuck, and TMZ is one of the episodes. I literally just watched it today, how it came to be and all of that. It's a really good watch if you're looking for something to watch.
Well, I'm not, but I'm interested in that because I really they are the dark. You know, we had a little bit of that. We've talked about it on this podcast relative with the current affair and how they went after Shannon. But TMZ is a whole other level of paparazzi, you know.
It's outrageous. The other thing to our friend Jason Carter was over at 90210MG as well. Did you guys see? Good to see him doing some of that and being out there again.
Oh, yes. I like hearing that because I think even Jenny, good music notwithstanding, I think even Jenny was blown away by, did I actually do that in that episode? You know, the level of, you know, craftsmanship between the three of them was our three leads there in this one was really pretty amazing. So,
yeah, you all got a good piece of it.
Let's talk about this topic. Andrea Zuckerman, the loves of Andrea. I went to the archives and pulled some of the lesser known from the old days. And then, of course, the ones that you guys both worked on together that we'll talk about. But I guess to start with Brandon, is that the place to start?
I think we should start with Andrea.
Sure. Okay. Absolutely.
Because one thing I want to throw out is that, especially thinking to Andrea in the earliest parts of season one. And I would play that entire season up to the summer episodes when she has her drama class, and we'll get into that for a second.
I have that.
But in that season one, in the early part, you know, she was this, it was just such a different world, you realize, because she was this brainy, non-affluent character out of district. That's who she was. That was her type. And right. there and given, you know, really the spelling imprimatur over what is beauty, that and somehow she wasn't relegated to be a sexual being. What she was relegated to be, or a sexual being, she was relegated to be to have a crush on the lead. That's, you know, the unrequited, the, oh, I shouldn't be thinking about these things. I shouldn't be feeling these things. To think about where we're going to go in this episode, starting from there, I wanted to share that with you and our guys. Because that's what true. It was. There was no even thought about that. And the idea that she then, when you get to the summer episode, and she'd be in, well, maybe, you know, Brenda's got a little crush on this teacher too, and we both do, but oh my God, I'm one step ahead of that race, was, you know, oh, how can that be, almost?
Yeah. It's a testament to Gabrielle Carteris too, because that is not an easy character to play, Andrea Zuckerman. You have to have the right bit of, you know, sexy intrigue for the lead to be interested in her, but it can't be too much where you don't feel like she's not fitting in as well, right? So it's a testament to her ability to play that as well and fit in with that group, being a little bit older.
Yeah, I wanted to add one thing to what Chuck is saying, just in general. There was always that thought then, I think it was Dorothy Parker, which was, men don't make passes at girls who wear glasses.
Right. Right.
And exactly. So that's what she was bringing to it. So she, like, you're right, Pete, she had to really bring out this kind of inner volcano inside her that she really had longing desire, and it came out in Brandon.
So, Chuck, I picked the first scene, actually. I picked that slumber party scene where they talk to her about her crush on Brandon, because this is now in the story arcs, this is where it's going. I mean, there's a lot of flirtation. Does she like him? Does he like her? You know, we're learning all of that. And this character puts her in the hot seat. So let's start here, hopefully.
With a guy before.
That's really personal.
What's the point of the game? If you can't take it, maybe you should go home.
No. No, I have never slept with a guy before. I mean, yet.
Well, if you could sleep with any guy in school, who would it be?
Come on, you guys, I can't answer that.
Yeah, you can.
I don't know, I guess it would have to be
Brandon.
No, not Brandon. No, it would have to be Hans Fleischmann. He is this incredibly gorgeous lifeguard who pulled me out of the water when I was stung by a jellyfish at Zuma Beach last summer.
Sure, Andre, we believe you.
What is this? I told you, Brandon is just a friend. I do not want to sleep with him.
Wait a second. Is this the same guy you're always walking around the halls with, batting your big cow eyes at every day?
What are you talking about?
Get a life, Andrea. The whole school knows. Not that they care. It's true.
Okay. Okay. So it is Brandon.
Anyway, that's where I started, you know, to show.
Excellent choice. That's where to start.
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah, Gabrielle really has some layers there. It's really good.
Oh, yeah. I can't believe you guys are asking me this. That kind of just, how can this even apply to me? And
right. You know, yeah, exactly. So, and Amanda Pacer is a great character. I wish that we would have seen more of her on 90210 in that season. She just came to the slumber party, but boy, did she stir up a lot that night in all of the characters. So at the end of that season, home again, we've watched the scene at the, in the, on the, what's the name of the Ferris? Not Ferris. What's it called? The
carousel. The carousel.
Carousel. Thank you. And we've seen that. And then of course they do kiss Brandon and Andrea. And here is this before they walk in.
Right. Something wrong?
No, I was just imagining something a little different. Forget it. Listen, maybe the peach pit isn't the right place for us.
Brandon, what are you saying?
Well, I just want to make sure you're sure about this.
Yeah, I guess so.
All right, me too.
Brandon, wait a minute. Before we go in,
Yeah. Wow.
Surprise!
And there you have it.
Yeah. That was a one-handed kiss by Brandon. That's not very convincing. I'm sorry. I watched that kiss very closely.
I noticed that you were doing that, Larry, that you were studying.
He was halfway there. He was but if he was there, but then he was really encouraging her.
Right. So you could say he was torn. He was torn. Yeah. He was torn, which is how it was, which I understand. I've always said in the end, I don't think Brandon was ultimately attracted to Gabrielle.
And again, in this moment,
way more as a friend.
He's about to move back, supposedly. That's where we're going with it. So of course he's going to make out with. He's on his way out. It's over.
Yeah, right.
You know, like why not? Yeah, make out
and pillage. Yeah, yeah, exactly. no consequences.
Exactly. But Andrea looked great there, by the way. I mean,
plunging neckline. Oh, yeah, good shot. Plunging neckline. Very good.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought she had a come hither look, as they say.
Yes, really I saw that too.
She was going at it. No, yeah. She's done some good work in these years, that year. Boy, that's great.
It's interesting now because I feel like Andrea Zuckerman is super hot now. You know what I mean? Like maybe in that year.
Oh, exactly.
She would be viewed as sort of like the glasses and the nerdier whatever, but right. Like the smart kid or whatever. But she is smoking now. Yeah, and then too. Yes. But okay. So those are the first couple of things. Then we have, do we want to talk about Chris Suter, the Elvis substitute teacher, acting teacher person?
Well, just that there was a propensity. She's smart, so she's going to gravitate to, you know, guys with a little more fully developed intellect, which are usually people who are a couple of years older than you. And so, you know, that's... This is the first one. She gets another one in high school, too. And, you know, she made something out of thin air because she wasn't getting much back in this one. That's for sure.
Wow.
Yes.
Hey, there was also Gil Myers. You know,
wait, hold on.
That's what I'm talking about.
I have the Chris Suter stuff. But this is a really interesting thing that happens because, well, let me just show it.
Yeah, sure.
I tend to go off on tangents.
No. It's great. It's great. You're great.
I think that Brenda and I have most of our scene down. You know, I'm still a little bit nervous, but I think that we can really get...
Andrea, I don't want to talk about school right now, okay?
Okay.
This is kind of a difficult situation for me.
What is?
Well, tomorrow's our last day of class, right?
Yeah.
And I was kind of hoping that I could talk you into having a cup of coffee with me tomorrow night.
Just you and me?
Just you and me.
I'd like that, sure.
Yeah? Night.
Bye. You're gonna love him, and now Amelia?
I'm better for her than you are.
The hell you are.
No, it's like the Teddy Miller cut.
I mean...
How we rehearsed the slap.
Oh, no?
You know damn well it wasn't.
Well, I guess I just got too involved in my character.
That is so lame. There was something else behind that slap, and you know it.
I mean, it's a great little story for Andrea. That, well, first of all, let's talk about the fact that the teacher is hitting on Andrea and asks her out, and he's older. I would assume over the age of, she's probably under, isn't she supposed to be 17, 16 at this point?
That's about right. And he would be 30.
So, I mean, there's that.
28 to 30, let's say.
Right. And we've seen that news story over the last few years, you know, show up where a teacher that's inappropriate.
You've got to put this in the context, Larry. Okay.
Yeah.
Here we are. We have just gotten our butts kicked and our wrists slapped with a ruler by the network for being too sexual. So when we created this character, there was going to be a kiss in that car. I am pretty sure that Darren and I would have been accelerated at that point and getting the story and getting the more juices we could. This is a chase time here. C-H-A-S-T-E, chased. And so that's how that scene played. So maybe it wasn't, because otherwise the guy says, you know, we're this, I don't want to talk about school and this, and he makes that comment. And that's where the kiss was, you know, you could see in a scene slated right there.
Sure. But,
and look, I'll see you tomorrow, but this isn't going to be good. But just a flirt, Larry, would have given a taste. Somebody was serious in that would have been seducing. That was not a scene of seduction. That was a scene of, I don't know, Tommy James and the Shondells, the scene, I Think We're Alone Now. I mean, it was just very youthful.
Yes. But she gets into it with Brenda, too, over this, you know, because Brenda gets jealous and smacks her in the play, which seemed a little bit outrageous for Brenda to do that. But it's interesting because we get to see Andrea doing something that's not Brandon, right? It's she's got interests. And again, it's a teacher, older person.
Well, it's an immature act to hit like that. But again, where's Brenda coming from? Brenda, Dylan is out, they've been busted. She's sees herself as a more mature thing. She's no longer a virgin, so she's in a different category than she was prior. A couple of weeks ago, her boyfriend somewhere else, her parents flipped out. I mean, things are there. So there is some, when it comes to relationships, it's a little elevated on her part, you know, immature thing to do. And
sure,
something, if she doesn't apologize in this episode,
I think she does, you know. Hey, Larry, what do you think about seeing some of that?
I really enjoy it. I mean, I've never seen that kid before, I have to honestly say. Whatever happened to his career? Did he have a career?
He became a pastor.
Oh, my God. Because he does have the Elvis look to him. You know, he's got those really good eyes.
He was the guy who was the lead in the Elvis. That's why I hired him.
Oh, okay.
I thought that show was really good.
That was when I realized
television was a tough business.
Yeah.
Because... Yeah. You know, that's when we were, you know, we were making our shows and we were into it. And I was on Northern Exposure and this show comes out and I'm thinking this show's going to be a huge hit for ABC. Man, it was so smart to do a scene on Elvis. 6 episodes and out. I went, it's not that easy to be a programmer, guys. It's not that easy.
It was Rick Husky was the writer, I think.
Rick Husky.
Some comments. Brian says, Larry always shooting down the Brandon Andrea shippers. I love it.
I'm loving Andrea's passion, though, because when she does, you know, go for it, as we'll see as her lovers, as we go through the stuff that she has, she's got a little volcano aspect. She takes those glasses off and
Yes.
Yeah, there's a lot of heat there.
Alicia says, Brandon always brought the girls he liked around Andrea, almost like rubbing. He was rubbing his relationship in their face. Carla, Emily, and Trisha. I don't even know who Trisha is. So that's
Trisha another. Doesn't count because we can't know who that is.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Who was the second one? Was Dr. Emily?
Dr. Weiss.
Emily and Carla. Is she? I understand Carla and Emily for sure. But
Carla, when's Carla?
Carla is the East Side Story.
Oh, Carla.
Right. That took me a second as well.
I didn't know her by her. I don't pay justice to her name.
I struggled. Well,
they were all in the same honors class. There wasn't much they could do about that. You know, was a brainiac, if I remember.
Catherine says, when I was a kid, they all looked older to me, but she looks light years older to me, particularly in seasons 4 and 5. It takes me out of the idea that they're 19. Sorry. Do you feel that that's true?
Me?
Larry made a noise.
I think because it's college. I don't think so. Because again, we're out of high school. So we're in another level. So I think she actually looks better there.
Yeah. Chuck, do you have an opinion on that?
Yes, she was a 30-year-old woman who had a baby, and you don't look like a teenager when it happens.
Yep,
it was a thing we've talked about that, she and I. It was something that
Brian asks if you have memories working with Chris Suter.
Oh yeah, Michael St. Gerard, that's who the actor was.
Okay, yes. Yeah. Which you've talked.
Yes, so I remember that he walked on our set, and I remember he walked off our set.
Brad says that slap shocked me when I first saw it, and it was loud. It was a good slap. Okay. Alicia says that she finds Chris Suter creepy. At first he was liking Brenda, but then turned to Andrea, where he was more impressionable than Brenda, in my opinion, as she didn't have a relationship at that point.
Creepy, that's the word.
That is the word. Okay, let's see what other things we picked out. I picked out another Brandon moment. This one.
What season, Pete?
This would be at the beach club.
What the hell is that?
Just how I feel.
Look, don't insult me like that, okay? Not now.
Oh, hey, what are you talking about?
The only reason you're the slightest bit interested in me is because I'm seeing someone else and you know it.
It's not true.
Oh, yeah? Then where have you been the last couple of years, Brandon? You had your chance. You made your choice. I'd appreciate it if you get out of my way because I have a date.
So break it.
What makes you think you're so damn irresistible?
This is when she's dating Jay Thurman, I believe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Peter
Krause.
Peter Krause came in. That was that was a good feeling to have a guy like him come on to us. Even with nothing there, we knew we had a great guy there. Mm-hmm. And
do you want to see a Peter Krause scene with Andrea?
Yeah, why not?
I might still be here when you come back.
Well, I won't be. Not for long, anyway. New school starts in September, and Evanston, Illinois is a long way from Beverly Hills.
Yeah, but there are telephones, airplanes, frequent flyer miles. I mean, if you're willing to try a long-distance relationship.
Well, I'll get the whole month of December off, a week of Thanksgiving.
Well, that's not so bad.
Yes, it is. But I'm glad about one thing.
What?
That the reason you're staying is Cameron Shaw, not Brandon Walsh. Well, that really is the reason, right? I mean, you wouldn't lie to me, would you?
Hey, I'm a Democrat. Remember, we don't lie.
Yeah, right. I guess there's something to be said for the Democratic Party after all.
Two hands.
Yeah, well, he's a player.
Yeah, he used two hands. I love Chuck's little things there. That was really cool. Yeah, it was a good, really good character, a good foil for Brandon, and you know, it was excellent.
And again, so you can see this was the summer, you know, and all through it, and Pete Wright wisely skipped, you know, it just to go back for the fan, you know, that in season two, in between the summer scenes that we saw. You know, she was there. They had everybody's talking about it. So condom sexuality's right up in front of everybody's face. And one of the Griffin who works there, kind of like a Josh Richland before Josh Richland, is flirting with her, wants to go out with her. And she realizes that. But here again, Jay was a couple of years older.
That's right.
From here, I don't know if you got any Mark Kiley stuff, but she'll go right into this.
That's where I'm going to go next.
Want to point out that, again, the second Brandon kiss with Andre, it's a one-handed kiss.
Hmm. That was a one-handed kiss?
One-handed kiss. The other hand legs limply down the side. Now, the other guy, Jay, totally committed.
Yes.
Just something for those people.
And look how many series he got.
Exactly.
Got 6 feet under, for God's sakes. He could have stopped right after that. But so many good stuff he's done.
The kid Griffith that you mentioned that was going to be the younger kid that was everybody's talking about it. Was he someone that you thought was going to maybe be in this world more? We've talked a little bit about that here.
Yes and no, I don't really remember. I mean, you know, it was a useful, another body. We needed that. We also had to have, where would Andrea be? And I always did like, whenever we could, and we didn't do it that often because we have such a big cast and, you know, real specific directives in the stories we were telling. But, you know, I always liked it. Like when Michael Cudlitz became a guy who was talking or you know, some of our other guest stars would just be there and they'd be saying something or doing something or being connected to it. So you got the sense it was a little bigger world than just the Magnificent Seven.
Totally. He fit in well. And I watched his stuff earlier and I thought him and Gabrielle or him and Andrea had great stuff together. So it was, and she does ask him out at the end of that. All right. Here's some Gil Myers.
Zuckerman. Twice in 2 days. People might start talking.
Well, they can talk as much as they want. I don't think that that you and I are gonna have a lot to say to each other by the time I'm finished.
What's wrong?
My not going to Yale was one of the toughest decisions that I've ever had to make. And I don't appreciate that you treat it like some kind of joke. Andrea. And I don't care if you think that I have wimped out because I'm staying here. This is my life. I don't have to justify myself to you or to anybody else. So what if I don't go to the God Almighty Ivy League? And really, who cares? What am I doing?
It's okay. It's okay. Come here. Sit down.
Oh, Gil. Oh, I feel like I missed the train and it's never coming back for me.
It's like I said the other day. California University is a great school. And if you don't like it, you can always transfer. Or here's a revolutionary idea. You could take some time off to find yourself. But whatever you do, just remember no one's keeping score but you, okay?
I'm so embarrassed.
So you bit my head off. What's a little venting between friends? You want to stay for lunch?
I don't want to put you out.
Just having tuna salad. I'll tell Maggie to set another place.
Who's Maggie, your chef?
My fiance. You never met her?
No.
Come on in, I'll introduce you.
Great.
So let's talk about Gil Myers and Andrea. Andrea, again, this is an older person and a teacher, faculty. And she's into him, you know, and now we learn here in this scene, she's having nightmares, or I don't know if we're going to call them nightmares. She's having dreams about him and about, you know, getting into school, and she's on the high wire and all that stuff. And he takes a lot of her brain space. And he has a fiance, as we learn here.
Yeah. Well, it's surprising that it wouldn't have come up. In that period of time, but also it may be a relative new thing.
Sure.
You know, it's hard to say that, but
Do we see it? No.
No, go. You jump in, Larry. You know, I'm still formulating here a little bit.
I just wanted to know if we actually go inside and see her. But he said no.
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 We never see the fiance.
Well, so maybe he's just lying then.
I will confess that never crossed my mind. But
you see a dog in there or something, you know.
Everybody wants us to know that Trisha was the ice skater.
Ice skater. Okay.
Yes.
Fire and ice, Chuck. Fire and ice.
That's who Trisha. We both blew
there
that.
There you go. Okay. Thank you. Just, you know, I don't even.
So what did you feel about her and Gil? Chuck.
Well, Gil, the thing is, in the first episode, Gil comes off as a boor, if you remember, by wanting Brandon to be the editor and not her. And that was, looking back at it, it's a little bit of a device to inflame. But or even if he had an interesting point of view today, you wouldn't be as harsh.
Sure.
You know, so that always kind of stops the thing of them being a couple. You know, we never really took it in that way. It was just a subtext all the time. But here was her chance to make it real. I'm in L.A. You're here. You know,
exactly.
And it ain't going nowhere, which kind of describes what my love life was like between 18 and 21.
Lori McKenzie Arbrissel, our friend, says, I love Gil Myers on the show. I haven't seen Lori in some time. Hope you're doing well.
He was a good guy, and I told you I was at a wedding. The wedding we were at this summer, family wedding in West Hartford, Connecticut, was sitting at a table with his in-laws. Like his sister's sister or whatever it was, and that he's not a photographer mostly now, I guess. But
that's what they say. Yeah, I mean, he's been on here and he's been really great. You know, he's
great. Yeah, nice.
He's a very.
He was on the Super Show.
He was, and he was. I feel like he's done a few things with us here with Denise and Gabrielle. I feel we reunited them at one point on a Christmas episode.
Excellent.
It's funny that we did all of that. Sometimes we forget about our own history of this podcast.
How many is it now? 11,000 of these?
What about this one, Chuck, real quick? It's a quick scene.
Yeah, I was just protecting the cheese platter here. Oh. So, Jordan, how's it going, man? You all ready to take Yale by storm?
Honestly, I'm a little nervous.
Nervous? Well, what do you got to worry about?
So Andre tells me you went on a game show. Did you find the woman of your dreams?
I thought so. And then she found Steve.
Too bad. But it will make great copy.
Jordan, would you do me a favor? Would you tell your friend here that not every one of our life experiences has to end up in her newspaper?
Jordan Bonner.
Jordan Bonner. A lot of heat in that scene, right, Larry? A lot of heat coming out of that.
You know, it would be interesting to see if they would have kissed, but that was kind of like the Sean Donald delay.
He was going to be taking her to prom, and then he got sick. So you remember that was a part of that plot line, so we don't really see him. And part of the reason that comes in that way moving forward is just because it was pretty, you know, there was no chemistry there between the two.
There's no chemistry at all.
So it wasn't, you know, they're both technically good, and I like them both. And I really like them, and particularly, our guy from Shaw, you know, the actor. I really liked him, Bonner, in the episode that he was brought in to play, the Chips episode.
Home and Away.
Yeah, Home and Away. Yeah. That was this one, you know, after that, it was all kind of loosey-goosey a little bit.
You know, And he wasn't older. That's interesting, because that was a crush that she had that was not older. Also,
how did you know the name of the episode, Larry? I'm just.
I remember when he said "Chip's episode." I remember because it's really, you know, it's a. Oh, okay. It's done in here. I just remember.
That was some Sherry Weiss trivia shit, right there.
Exactly. Yeah. I pulled that out.
Paul says, I actually thought Jordan was going to be a series regular.
I could just hear Mr. Spelling going something like, no offense to the actor at all, but you know, that notion of you need to have the wow factor, you know, lover, you know, buddy, you know, you need to have that, you know, when you didn't, you know, you can tell when it pops. You can tell when it pops, and it, a lot of times watching through 90210, things are popping all over the place. So, yeah. You know, and when it's not, it's glaring.
Comparatively to Peter Krause's character, Jay and Andrea popped. I thought they had good chemistry. The kiss was fine. There was a good interplay. You know, even the kid you mentioned, Griffith, there was a little something. Jordan was just like holding her like a relative in that scene.
Chuck, who did Andrea go to the senior prom with?
You mean the final? I think she went, she just went with the group.
Oh, okay. So she didn't have a date.
Or maybe it was Brandon. It was Andrea. I mean, Brandon and Andrea were the two.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so.
Oh my, we have to watch the episode.
Yeah, someone will pop it up. Oh, so Lori's saying Brandon. It was Brandon. You're right.
Yeah.
By the way, on 90210 OMG, they know all of this. We just right the other podcast. All right, here is I don't know.
And time for the David Silver Show. Here's David.
Andrea.
I got a feeling this is Dan Rubin.
It's getting late.
I was having the most amazing dream.
Was there yogurt involved?
No, we were flying. It was great. Only now I don't have the strength to put my clothes on.
So stay.
No, I can't.
Stay.
I can't. I stayed last night. I almost missed my first class. You are not the most dependable alarm clock. Oh, I wish it didn't have to be this way. Today I was with my friends and they kept talking about their boyfriends. I couldn't even say a word.
Andrea, we both agreed it's for the best we don't go public.
And it's not fair. I mean, it's not like you're my teacher anymore. I looked at the college guidelines on resident advisors. They do not have a non-fraternization rule.
No, not specifically, but how it's interpreted is a whole other matter.
What's the worst thing that could happen if they find out about us?
Oh, I don't know, and I don't want to know.
Let's talk Dan Rubin.
Her first, that's who she lost her virginity to, and he was charming. Matthew Peretti's been on the show. He's got a nice little twinkle there. I think she was aiming high. He was just using her pretty much from the start, as we can see.
Yes. Another teacher, sort of.
He would have been 4 or 5 years older because he was a resident advisor.
And Jesse is a couple of years older.
Yeah. So it was in her wheelhouse. But, you know, clearly he was a really good-looking guy, so that was it. And she couldn't really show him off because – you know, he had a bunch of issues, which was good. But he was a cad.
I think the actor's really lovely too, Matthew. He brings a lot to that. But it's interesting, Chuck, because you've been with the show from day one, and we just saw Slumber Party at the start of this, where she says she has never slept with somebody, and now we see the character have that experience. Was that something that I don't know that we've talked about that here before. When you would have those moments for characters, would you get pushback on that happening with Andrea? I doubt it, right?
We weren't in high school anymore, and the actress was pregnant.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
It really wasn't more. We were much more hustling than that.
Yeah. But it must be rewarding to see a show be on for that long and then write that, you know, all those years later and be able to see the character have that development. A lot of shows don't make it that long anymore.
Well, that's true. But you know what? Only in the time, you know, we went to a nightclub on La Cienega for, you know, a pseudo publicity event to mark our 100th episode, which is what shows used to do all the time. I'm sure still they do stuff like that, you know, if warranted. And it was, you know, that was a mile. That's where I get to take stock at that moment. But if we had too many shows to do, we were way too busy for that kind of reflection. We were just trying to get through the day.
That was Pink as a Boy as a Dog was the 100th episode.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's what I remember. Nice. It's an odd point.
And then you cast Jesse Vasquez, who we love here, Mark Damon Espinosa. He's a really great guy. Were there other people that you considered for that part?
I'm sure, but I have no recollection of the fact, other than it was really clear that, you know, at the end, this guy had charm. He was charming. He was different. He was not, you know, I believed he was in law school. I believed he was a bartender.
What about you, Larry? Do you remember anybody that you liked?
I don't think you're in that casting, were you, sure?
Yeah, I kind of remember a little bit the list, because there were, we did go for the who's the guy with three names who played in La Bamba?
S.A. Morales?
Yeah, well, S.A. Morales, yes, Chuck. We did ask for, we did try to inquire about S.A. Morales. I think it was someone else. Something. Oh, Lou Diamond Phillips.
But Lou Diamond Phillips.
Lou Diamond Phillips, that's right.
Yeah.
I met him at a charity event.
Yeah.
And he knew Jason because they were both Oxfam. And Oxfam was a very progressive organization about world hunger. Yeah. And that I was a supporter of at the time. And so I'd see him, and it was Jason's, what he cared about most at that time politically. So there was an event and got to know him. So he was considered. But
yeah, they turned it down.
He was too big to do something like that.
Yeah, they were movie stars then. But we did put out for S.A. Morales too, and then we just saw a bunch of
And he came into Reed, and it wasn't gonna work.
Well, Mark or who?
S.A. Morales.
Maybe he did. Maybe
he read for me at one point in my life, so I don't know when it was. But I'm
Matthew asks an interesting question. Were her love interests older because she was older?
I think it was the character, really, but that, it helped. It helped also, but I think just in her character, you know, of, you know, being, you know, more of an intellectual, she was admired men who were.
I think all of that is true, but I can't deny it that it also helped to age up the show, which was where we effectively were really going after you get to season four, anyway.
Right.
You know, we were not in high school. Anything went as far as Fox. You know, practically at that point.
I pulled a couple Jesse Vasquez scenes. Here's this one.
Grandma Rose.
You know, when you asked for a second helping on those latkes, you won her heart forever.
Why not? They're delicious.
I can't believe you bought me a baseball glove for Hanukkah.
Well, if you're going to hang around me, you're going to need it.
Oh, I see. So it's more of a gift.
I better believe it. I've got a lot of reading to do. I'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah.
night.
Brilliant.
I forgot that
happened.
They're really sweet together. You know, you could see them together. And, you know, she's so socially conscious that, you know, again, she was, you know, just, she was very inclusive and open.
I don't know. There was something about that scene, you know, that's one, there was something about the body language going on. Maybe she was anticipating that he was standing there. I mean, but the kiss is not, you know, it goes on for a long time, but it seems like, I guess it's because she does have a boyfriend at this point. He was right there, Dan Rubin, and maybe that's what she's thinking. That was not, you know, like, kiss me and we're there. You know, there were reservations and fences everywhere on it. And so she played that well because that kiss wasn't a, you know, I surrender to it.
No, it was not hot, but it went on for a long time. It kind of, that was kind of the thing about it. But yeah, no, the way it wasn't really steamy because their bodies weren't close. He wasn't, you know, right up against him.
Right.
There was a distance between,
which made me realize she must have been pregnant at that moment too.
Oh yeah. And the other thing is, remember on the show, she's always has talked about with her guest star, she would say, yes, we're going to kiss now, but if you put your tongue down my mouth, you're going to be fired. She would lay down some groundwork before the intimacy coordinator time.
She was ahead of the curve. Yeah. Larry, you have said on this podcast that initially you weren't sure about Mark Damon. You know, if he was going to be right, you had some other thoughts. You just saw this scene with the kiss.
I'm happy with them together. At the time when the character was conceived, I always thought the character more, because again, we gave him this whole baseball background that he was really kind of a more athletic as opposed to a brighter, more, you know, academic kind of character. So it just became what it was, you know, just, you know, the writers had to give way to what the actor was bringing, which was
great. Larry is absolutely right. And there's a lesson there for writers on staffs.
Yes, there is.
You know, just because you put it down, if your actor isn't the person who's the best to fulfill it, drop that aspect of the character, especially if it's early on. Don't belabor it. You know, move on.
You go where the character takes you.
I remember, for those of the fan who watch Dawson's Creek, I mean, before I really creatively just moved into more of a business role, the fact is, as I said to Kevin, you're trying to write jokes for this actress here, and this isn't who she is or what she's going to do best. And the actress was Michelle Williams, for God's sakes, you know, it's a little bit more than the jokes, you know, but anyway, that's a long time ago.
So you guys do make a move to have Andrea cheat on Jesse with Peter.
Yeah.
And I have that scene now.
It was the last time when this happens, it's Andrea was the last one who had never told a lie the entire time during the series. She made it this far, never telling a lie. And then we took.
You needed this to happen for a little heat.
It was also realistic in a young marriage. People getting married, you know, that you get into the monotony of raising a young child, and
they did kind of get thrown into it, right? You know what I mean? They were suddenly pregnant, and then they were married, and then they were going to keep the baby.
There was
they're young. Yeah, and there's nothing wrong. It happens. So yeah, we gave her
that. I mean, I think the one thing that was good about it, too, is that both of them had stepped up. There was unhappiness, that pressure, that stuff. Both of them felt that.
Yes.
So, you know, it wasn't like some kind of morally terrible thing. That they would get divorced later.
Right.
Karen's best friend in law school was married and left her husband, but married with no children, leaves her husband for their professor as they're graduating from law school. They have a life together, and then the husband's gonna go a different way, and then he gets divorced, you know. I mean, that's your kind of thinking. There's a lot of that kind of
Sparkle says world. Larry Mullen, I admire your talent and appreciate what you did for the series.
Well, thank you, Sparkle. Appreciate
what about you
appreciating me. I appreciate you appreciating me.
Okay, and here is some Peter.
I see you in that lab coat and I swoon.
Will you stop it?
I need you right here, right now.
Ooh. Right in front of Wendy?
Oh, she'll love it.
You're nuts, you're crazy.
Hey, give me a break. I've been on for 16 hours. I'm delirious, not to mention horny.
Well, then take a cold shower.
How about if I make it hot and you join me?
Look, you're working and I'm working.
You know, technically, that's not the case. My break began 2 minutes ago.
What are you doing?
Coming to my laboratory.
What are you doing? Oh, I love this job.
You do?
Mm-hmm, I do.
Yeah. All right.
Someone's going to bump into them.
Andrea, are you in here?
There's nobody in here but me, and I'm not dressed, so if you don't want an eyeful.
Oh, boy. Sorry.
It's okay.
There you have it. We've had him on the show as well.
That's great. I think that's my friend Adrian playing the nurse there. I just realized.
A personal friend of yours is playing the nurse?
Yeah. You know, she got, because again, we'd always let friends kind of have access and try out for parts, but they had to get the part.
And yes.
It was a small part. She was a good actress.
So when they, like, that kind of girlish, frolicking, sexy, come on, this, she had never got to do that in high school or last year. So it's like completely brand new for her as the character, and she does a great job with it.
Yeah. And this storyline also ended up with a really good Dylan Andrea.
Yes.
Also,
yeah. Very good.
Because if you remember, like, Dylan, like, is writing the screenplay with Charlie, who's on Night
at the
at a motel. At a motel, and that's the motel that they used for their motel.
That was brilliant. Motel. Whichever and one that, you came up with that.
And
brilliant.
The thing is that, you know, you just think of the storytelling. I'm just thinking about it because, you know, to get us to set it up to be there, we had to go in a route to do that. And with Gabbit, we're doing another route.
Yes.
And just as it is in real life, oh my God, we crossed right there.
Exactly. And you never know. That's
what made our show feel a little different than a lot of the other storytellers at the time.
Try to vertically integrate the storylines.
And we had the time to do it. You know?
Yes. Right.
Yeah, 32 episodes.
Sparkle says, I think if Peter was willing to leave his wife, Andrea would have left Jesse. It was only because Peter was staying married did Andrea need to work on her marriage. And he puts a tear.
It's true, because he basically kind of, you know, lays it out that, you know, for her that he's not leaving his marriage.
Makes sense to me, Sparkle, because that was the key. I mean, that she was unhappy and they'd have the kid, and it would have been very difficult for her to be the young divorcee with someone else who's just gotten divorced, who she barely knows. I mean, it's taking a flyer, but she was willing to do it. That's how unhappy she was.
Yeah.
Amy says, I thought these emotions on pressure, young marriage, all on point. Great writing.
Thanks,
Amy. That was to both of you. So unlike that other comment, that was just to Larry.
Well, Larry gets, you know. Larry, you know, it's Larry, I'm accessible, Mullen. You know,
Paul Ruppins says Mark Damon played it well. Jesse was always seemed in agony trying to fix him and Andrea's relationship.
Yeah, maybe that's the problem, because you shouldn't continually have to fix a relationship.
Yeah, it was really agonistic. But, you know, when they finally do at the last few episodes together, they're kind of good together. They get you can see there's a more of an ease in the way they play.
I wonder, Chuck, if it was really the religious thing that came down to it in the end. In this great off-scene episodes and the story slam of their relationship in Yale, I wonder if it was really became a religious issue between them.
Yeah.
Either that. Nah, I think it's Jesse came out. You know, I think that's
well, there's always that.
In that's the always
world,
possible.
In the modern world, he changes pronouns.
Yeah. Oh, man. Let's see. Lisa says hi.
Hi, Lisa.
You guys. Lisa, yeah. So, do you have a favorite of the of all of the Andrea relationships? We'll end on this note, maybe. Jesse?
I'm excluding Brandon, right? Brandon doesn't count, right?
Well, because if you say that, you're gonna, that one fan that thinks that they should have been together is gonna,
no, the one-handed kiss. It's so obvious to me.
Yeah.
Look, I think it's, I love seeing her with Dan, though I know he's such a cad, but I thought that she looked great. You know, she got the big good-looking guy. You know,
and you know, Peter Krause was a cad too, but you know totally. What? I thought his was the most fun in this, and also, you know.
Oh, Jay. What about the guy, Jay?
She did good stuff with Mark Kiley, so I like him.
Yeah. I was going to say, if there was
a Peter Krause, yeah.
If Mark Kiley came back later, that would have been maybe fun to play with. You know what I mean? Maybe Gil Myers returns to the area.
Oh, yeah. And start. I think if I had stayed, Larry, we would have come up with that one.
Yeah, maybe, you know what? Maybe he was, he went for to get postgraduate to Yale, and he winds up ruining Andrea's marriage to Jesse.
All right. Well, hey, we got one now. Oh, we got the one.
Hey, are we going to go to this beach house thing? Is there something I just think?
This is happening. This is happening. I'm going to announce it right.
What are the dates on it? I have to clear it.
I feel like it's August 31st. I feel like the date.
That's fine.
Yeah.
That's
good. I feel like that's the date. And I don't want to shout it out to too many people because I don't know who she's inviting to it, but Dorkzilla Sarah is inviting us to the beach house. So we're going to be there doing the podcast from the beach house with select fans that Dorkzilla is inviting.
No, that's gotta be
her name is Sarah. I shouldn't call her by her screen name all the time, but that, so it's exciting. We'll try to get some people to stop by too. I think we'll see how that plays out. And I was going to make one more Jesse point, but I totally forgot what it was. But anyway, I think that I think I just saw Gabrielle and Mark Damon together on the picket lines for SAG. And it's cool to see that they're still close after all these years.
Yeah. They got along good. Seeing that. Yeah, I don't want to talk about those picket lines, do we, Larry? Nope.
Nothing to say.
Nothing, no comment on the picket lines, Larry?
It's a hard thing. You knew it was going to go on for a long time. It will continue to until the industry can, you know, run for cover. That's usually what starts to happen. People who are on strike have to be hurting. And yet the executive pay, that kind of thing that Diller was talking about, they're not going to do that. These are
men of greed.
Exactly. Well, you know, I spoke to I'm not going to name who, a writer, someone who actually is a showrunner. And I figured like he must be really a kind of not with it. But he says, no, he says, you know, I know we might not win it, but it's worth it. And I'm thinking to myself, win it? Like once you start thinking of winning and losing, it's a negotiation. It's got to be something. It's got to be, you got to get it done. Well, forget about winning. that's a loser's.
Well, just remember, well, but just, this veered off, but I'm sorry.
We
care about this, by the way.
You
remember, they got a big win. They got a big, Guild got a big win on
the agents. Against the agents. I know. But you can't let that blind you. Like, you know, it just.
It blind them to some extent.
Yeah,
but also, you're dealing with Amazon, and Amazon is not. Even Warner Brothers, you know, it's just not Columbia Studios of Harry Cohen. I mean, it's Amazon. There's no labor tolerance there.
Yeah. So I mean, it's been going corporate for a long time. Best of luck to us. I'm a member of both unions. So
Anne wants to know, did Gabrielle ever date anyone on the show? But I think she was married, right?
He got married at the end of the first season.
Yeah, so I don't think that was...
No, end of the second season, the Rodney King riots. Going in the third season. Yeah, so that was 1992.
I feel like even Mark Kiley was married, and I feel like they talked about what that was like when they were on the Christmas episode. So go dig that up in the archives, however you find it. All right, well, this is great to see you guys.
Good to see everybody.
Yeah, we'll see you guys soon.
Love you all watching. Thank you.
More 90210 show coming.
Yeah, live TV shows. Cool.
All right. Have a good one, everyone.
Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
See you soon, Chuck.
Bye.
Bye-bye.